Hello, my name is Ilana Flamenhaft. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamed Bet, Chapter 32. The first pasuk, verse 1 of our Perek chapter is, L'David Maskil, Ashrei Nesui Pesha, Kisui Chata'a. Praiseworthy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The theme of the chapter becomes immediately clear. It is tshuva, repentance. There are many chapters in Tehillim that address this topic, but our perek is the first. In the Talmud, Moed Katan 16b, the rabbis explain that David taught the power of repentance through his actions. This needs to be explored further since David is not the first person to have done tshuva. According to the rabbis in the Talmud, Erevin 18b, Adam HaRishon, Adam, was very pious. When he saw that death was imposed as a punishment because of him, he observed a fast for 130 years, and he separated from his wife for 130 years. Clearly, Adam demonstrated remorse, a key component of tshuva. We also know from the Midrash, Bereishis Rabbah 22:13, that Adam's son Cain, did tshuva. It seems clear that both Adam and Cain did tshuva, but they are not the only ones credited with tshuva. David had two more who preceded him. The first of the two is Reuven, as it says in the Midrash in Bereishit Rabbah 84:19, Hashem said, "There has never been a time ever when a man sins before me and did tshuva. You, Reuven, were the first one to do tshuva. I swear that your son will stand and open the way to tshuva." And this was the prophet Hosea who said, "Return Israel unto Hashem your God." How are we to understand these words if we know that Reuven wasn't the first to do tshuva? One way to answer this question is to compare the circumstances that led to Reuven's tshuva with the circumstances that led to the repentance of Adam and Cain. In the case of Adam, he only repented after God told him that he had gravely sinned and enumerated the numerous negative consequences of the sin. Likewise, with regard to Cain, he did not initially admit that he had sinned. He only repented after God informed him of the gravity of what he had done and the subsequent punishment that he would suffer. Thus, there were two factors that negated the power of the repentance of Adam and Cain. Firstly, it did not come from their own recognition of their sin. Rather, God had to inform them of this. Secondly, their repentance was motivated by fear of the punishments that they would receive for their sin, and far less due to a genuine regret that they had contradicted God's will. Reuven was the first to show remorse and repent on his own. But there is one more to consider who preceded David, Yehuda, Judah. We can see the development of the tshuva process through the generations. Reuven's tshuva was an improvement over Adam and Cain. Yehuda's tshuva is at a higher level than Reuven's, which can be seen from the fact that Yehuda's tshuva is explicitly stated in the text. Yehuda declares, "Tzadka mimeni, she is more righteous than I," when referring to the complex narrative with Tamar, which interrupts the Yosef story in Bereishis Perek Lamed Chet, Genesis chapter 28. Mrs. Smadar Rosenzweig explains that while Reuven initiated tshuva, Yehuda's is the superior example of repentance because he publicly repented. If we can digress for a moment, we might wonder why it is Reuven's descendant, Hosea, who according to the Midrash will open tshuva for us. Wouldn't we expect a descendant of Yehuda to do that? Mrs. Rosenzweig suggests that Yehuda's superior tshuva can be an intimidating example for us to follow. Reuven's tshuva, while less impressive, is more accessible to us. The average person can use Reuven's example as a guide. The rabbis chose a descendant of Reuven to open tshuva for us so that we would realize that repentance can be something we all can achieve. This leads us back to our original question. The Talmud states that David taught us the power of tshuva. Based on what we have learned so far, we can understand why the repentance of Adam, Cain, and Reuven do not contradict the Gemara statement. Adam and Cain had to be coaxed. Reuven's was too hidden. But how are we to understand the difference between the tshuva of Yehuda and his descendant, David? Maybe we can answer that question by looking more closely at David's tshuva in Shmuel Bet Perek Yudbet, Second Book of Samuel, Chapter 13. After Natan the prophet chastised David, he immediately said, Chatati laHashem, I stand guilty before the Lord. And before David could say more, Natan interrupted him. How do we know Natan interrupted him? Because after the words Chatati laHashem, there is a Parsha Stuma, an open space left after the word laHashem, which shows us that Natan cut David off. Then Natan said, Gam Hashem ha'evir chatatcha lo tamut. The Lord has remitted your sin, you shall not die, signaling that David need not say another word. David HaMelech is the first to actually express the words, I have sinned. Even though Yehuda admitted he was wrong, what he said was, she is more righteous than I. It is David who demonstrated that just saying the two words, Chatati laHashem, is enough to remove our sin. We have to willingly, without excuses, admit our guilt. Two words seem so inadequate, and yet they are exactly what we need to say. This is what is referenced in Pasuk Hey, verse 5 of our chapter of Tehillim, according to Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo ben Yitzchak, the most widely read commentary from the 11th century. Chatati odiacha, va'avoni lo chisiti, amarti odeh ale pesha'ai laHashem, v'ata nasata avon chatati sela. My sin I make known to you. David openly acknowledged his sin. My iniquity I do not hide. I did not try to conceal what I did. I said I will confess my transgressions to Hashem, but you had forgiven my iniquitous sin, Selah. David continues in the next pasuk, verse 6, Al zot yitzpalel kol chasid elecha. For this, let every devout one pray to you. Let my experience be a lesson for all. Now that we understand our original statement from the Gemara, that David's actions teach us the power of repentance, let's continue exploring what David can teach us about tshuva in subsequent psukim. We have the ability to recognize that we have erred and to ask for forgiveness. This is what separates a human being from an animal, which is what David references in verse 9. Al tihiyu kisus kiperet ein havin, v'meteg v'resen ed yol livlom bal krov elecha. Be not like a horse or mule uncomprehending, restrained with muzzle and bridle when being adorned to keep them from approaching you. There are many ways to understand this comparison. The first way is to understand this parable according to Rashi, who thinks that David is referring to the different ways that animals behave. A horse and a mule cannot differentiate between a person who is treating it well and one who is causing it harm. When one inserts a bit in their mouths to make them work, they clamp their jaws shut and eagerly chew it. But strangely, when one combs and grooms them to cleanse and beautify them, they react angrily and must be muzzled to prevent them from biting. Editor's note, I personally do not know anything about horses and mules, but I am perfectly comfortable trusting Rashi on this. The Rambam, Maimonides, in his commentary to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, explained this verse by making a comparison between animals and humans. He wrote that the main difference between man and these beasts is that the animal can only be aroused or subdued by external blows. Man, however, can be motivated by his sense of what is right and proper. He requires no outside prompts to motivate him. The Midrash in Psik De Rabbati builds upon the Rambam's comparison to demonstrate the high level expected of us. In Devarim 23:8, it says, Lo titaev mitzri. Ki ger hayita be'artzo. You shall not despise the Egyptian, for you were a stranger in his land. Rashi explained that even though the Egyptians threw our children in the Nile, we cannot overlook or forget that during the famine in Canaan, the Egyptians welcomed Yaakov and his family. A person must be at a very high level to be able to recognize and acknowledge a favor performed by an enemy. The rabbis caution that not to do so would make us uncomprehending like a horse or a mule. Finally, at the end of the chapter in verse 10, it says, Rabim machovim l'rasha, v'habotech b'Hashem chesed yisovevenu. Many are the agonies of the wicked, but he who trusts in Hashem, kindness surrounds him. David is teaching us that tshuva need not be complicated, nor does it need to involve grand gestures. Tshuva needs to be simple and direct. It can be done at any time, whenever we are inspired to do so. We have to reflect on our behavior and be honest in our attempt to evaluate what we are doing and recognize what it could and should be. If we have faith in Hashem and do tshuva, we will be surrounded in kindness. Let us strive to reflect on our actions and ask forgiveness from Hashem, confident that Hashem is ready and willing to forgive us. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malkat Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.